Hi guys, welcome back. Although that was a fake happy. That was me trying to be very happy. I'm a little bit under the weather, but don't worry, let's jump right into it. Welcome back, guys. It's been, I think, 2 weeks now, and I just feel like all those musicians that say I need to get back into the studio and all that, you know. I've been feeling that way. Oh my God, like I need to continue recording again. I miss having a purpose in life, you know? That kind of thing. But yeah, I'm happy to be back. And as most of you might know, I mean, if you follow my Instagram or Twitter, Cornell had like a pseudo spring break this past weekend. And I know I was like, you know what? I'm gonna drop everything. And so I tried to take a break for myself. And then I got hung up on this Netflix show, Dynasty. And I'm currently obsessed with it and the character Fallon Carrington. For as many of you that might have watched the Dynasty show. And yeah, so aside flunking a few exams and quizzes here and there and trying to be productive in other ways, I've been fine, but I hope you are fine as well. I also saw, I didn't follow the story on Nigerian Twitter, but I saw, I think there were rape cases recently. I don't have the full gist and I didn't want to ask because I didn't want to trigger any part of me. I didn't want to trigger the part of me that's trying so hard to still fall in love in Nigeria. So, but if you guys have any gist and you want to just call me up and gist me, please gist me. And good news, I finally got an email from somebody. Although she's a newcomer to the, I don't think, she has never reached out to me to tell me before she has listened to any episode. But it felt good that after 3 months of crying, send me an email, someone finally sent me. And I'm dragging all of you. Yes, I am. For as many of you that keep sending me DMs, I'm dragging you for not emailing them instead. Okay, I'm just kidding, but yeah. I hope you've been good. I hope your lives are in much better order than mine. So yeah, I've been juggling lots of things, you know, applying for jobs, internships, trying to get back in the grind and all of that. It's been a lot. And I finally got my second dose of the vaccine. But so far, I had no side effects. I mean, it also came when I took the second dose, then I came on my period. So I'm not sure if how I'm feeling is based on the vaccine or the period, you know, but I'm fine. The only side effect I had was my arm was paining me. So although the person who gave me the injection kept saying I should move my arms, you know, up and down, I should drink a lot of water so the vaccine circulates my body. So if you're in my shoes and you might be having a second dose, maybe those are tips you might want to use as well. So yeah, welcome back, guys. If you're new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. I sound like a YouTuber, but yeah, welcome. My name is Tolu Lope Esther Olukomi, if you might not know. And I'm choosing to introduce myself because this is a Q&A episode. So I think this is what I'm going to be doing at the end of every season. I have like a question and answer episode to wrap up the season. So I have about 19 questions here with one of mine added. And I'll let you know why along the way, why I've added a question to answer for you guys. I'm whispering, guys. I might now be an influencer. Shh, don't tell anybody. But we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. So yeah, welcome back, guys. I hope you've been, I think I've said this already. You know what? Never mind. Let's jump right into it. So, so like I said, I've been watching this Fallon Carrington show and I haven't left my house in like a week. So maybe that's why I'm feeling like I can see whoever it is I'm talking to right now, but I will resist the urge to shalaye. And if you're not in Nigeria, that means I will resist the urge to explain or give TMI. But yeah, so let's jump right into it. So some questions that people ask, there are things I plan to cover in the second season. Like during summer, I'm going to be starting another series. I think I've mentioned it a lot of times here that next season is going to be a lot of interviews with people and all that. So you guys be praying with me that, although I think most of them will accept the invitation, but yeah, I hope it goes. I hope my vision for it is actualized. Yeah, that's all I was trying to say. Okay, so we'll jump right into it. So we have 19 questions, like I said. So our first question is from Eunice. What are the list of things to pack when coming to the US? So, yeah, this is a long answer, but I'll try to, what's the word? Summarize here. So for me, when I was coming to the US, I have a particular video on my Instagram, one of the first videos I posted when my sisters were shopping for free from my wardrobe and clothes. So when I started to plan coming to the US, I had already divided my packing into different sections. So I had food, clothes, books, jewelry. I think that's about it. So yes, because those were my most prized possessions in quotes. So like when I made food, like what things was I taking? And there are some things, I don't know if some of you have parents that do it. Like your parents would buy stuff and be like, I'm going to give you this when you're going to your husband's house. So I had this blender that my mom had already bought that she was going to give me, you know, and cutlery and stuff like that. And all these gifts, you know, when you go for gifts, you go for weddings and you share like souvenirs and all those things. So I had mine and I was like, am I going to take this to the US? There's a particular wooden spoon I brought here. Please don't judge me. I have slight hoarding issues, but I was able to detach from all these things, which I'm very proud of. So I divided my packing into those things and I decided. So in the food aspect, what are the things I was going to pack? So like stockfish, the dried foods that I brought here, spices and all that. So according to you, what kinds of food do you think you can do without? And I brought my beans, I brought I brought different teas, you know, because and actually when I came, I was going to quarantine. So I was like, okay, what things can I bring? Biscuits, tea, honey, what things can I use to survive just in case I don't know how shopping for food here goes. And then as concerns books, I brought my most prized possessions, my books, my journals, my Bible. I packed them, things I was going to put in my hand luggage and things I was going to put in my box. Then when it came to shoes, yes, shoes too, I couldn't bring a lot because everybody kept telling me I'm going to buy here. So I had to let go of a lot of them. And then I cleaned all of them up and started deciding who I was going to give stuff to. I even took pictures and sent people, which ones do you want and all of that. And then after giving away most of them, I decided which ones I was going to come with, which was like just my sneakers and I think a flat shoe on one heel. Then for clothes, like I said, I tried to decide which ones were most important because I came during winter. So I went and I bought jeans from Balogun Market. I think I still have the guy's contact. I think he saved on my phone as Chisomachinaso Balogun. So if you need contact, just you know where to find me. If you also need, I bought new boxes as well. I also have a box guy in Balogun. If you need contact, you know where to find me. What else? Books, clothes, shoes. Yeah, my jewelry too. I decided to, which ones am I packing? Which ones am I not packing? Which ones am I giving out? Although there's a longer list, but I mean, I would go expressly in another episode during summer. But I just put these things into different categories and then I started unpacking and packing from there. So, but if you're traveling like very soon before that episode will be out, just send me an email. I know I'm low-key coercing you to send me an email, but yeah, just send me an email and I will try to look up my receipts and my book. So I also opened a book, although this, I have to give credit to my mom. She made me open a book when I was coming here. So my sister, most of you might know, my sister also went for a master's in UK before I did. So we had books in our names for things, all the processes and all the money we spent when we're coming here. So I had to open a book for my trip, for my journey from the US till I arrived here. So I would check that book or pictures I took to show you how much I spent, things I did. I also had to sort out my health issues. I went, you know, don't worry, that episode is still there. I went to the bank, I closed, I made sure that I discontinued my SMS, that's SMS, what they call it, like when they send charges, like now when you do a bank transaction, they send you SMS, right? A text message. So I had to discontinue all those things so they don't charge my Nigerian bank account. So I did a lot of processes but I put them in months and I had timelines for all those things. So number two, how did you get your funding for your MSc? And is MSc far harder than a BSc? So this is from Isioma. She's asking if getting a master's degree is harder than a BSc and how I got my funding. So I think I talked about this explicitly in episode 4. Now, I sound like those annoying YouTubers that say, oh, go check out my other video. But yes, please, go check out episode 4. but like for people who this might be your first time, how did I get funding? So I talked about how I bargained my funding. Although I can't say that without giving like lots of credit to God for actually allowing, giving me the courage to do so. I got admission into 2 schools and I was able to leverage one and say, oh, I got admission into this school as well and I don't want to have to go there. They gave me more funding and I mailed my program director at Cornell and that was how I was able to get funding. So even though on the website it showed that funding is not given to Master of Engineering students, so you guys, there's an exception to every rule. That's my mantra, as most of you know. And then it's MSc far harder than BSc. Well, funny enough, I find out that people who are here, Like people who, so I have friends too who finished from Cornell for their undergrad and are doing their masters, and they say the masters is easier than BSc because apparently the BSc streets were very wild. But for me, coming from Nigeria, a different country, different educational system, I would say masters is harder because, I mean, in America, things are moving very fast. Like things move fast and you have to do a lot to earn your grade. And I think that's what annoys me the most, you know? So you can have, each week you can have, there's this particular class I hate so much, so much. I see the lecturer in my dreams and I, let me not talk too much, but, you know, and then, you know, we'll have quizzes, we'll have assignments each week, we'll have presentations, project, all just to be able to meet up to 100%. So even if I do well in, like, the whole thing is cumulative, and then you just have to do so much. And then that's not your only course, you know? So you're doing so much to earn a grade, you know, putting in so much that at one point you just break and don't care anymore. And I think I'm in that phase, but hopefully God will take me out soon. I'll just let it pass, you know? But yeah, it can get harder. And this is even for a program I'm in that I naturally enjoy. I mean, I enjoy most of my classes. So imagine if someone was stuck in a program they don't enjoy. I have no words for them, honestly. Excuse me. So number three, how are you coping with your podcast and studies? Big question. So this is from AD, KYD, Onifade. Well, how am I coping? I'm basically coping because I would never, for me, naturally, I would never choose what I love over my, I would never choose my books over what I love. I would never choose my purpose over my book. Sorry, I would never choose my books over my purpose. That's what I'm trying to say. So I have no choice. And you should be asking me, how am I coping with my studies, with my podcast? But yeah, I mean, I'm coping. And like, I already designated time to do this. I record every Thursday night to release on Fridays. So I'm a planner by heart and by birth. So I think somehow it helps me manage my crazy schedule. But above all, I would say there's a lot of God in it too. I mean, a lot of times when I think I'm about to crash. Now, I read an article recently that I even sent it to some of my friends, you know, that now scientists have been able to give a word to what most of us feel, you know, where you're not sure if you're depressed or sad or moody. It's called languishing. So there's a whole article on it. I can look for it if you want it. Just shoot me an email and I'll send it to you. So it's about languishing. I think that's what I feel. So all in all, it's just a lot of planning. And like I said, I can have an assignment that is due tomorrow, but if I need to record my podcast, trust me, I'll choose that over it. If I need to go for an event that will make me happy, I'll choose that over my books. And that's one of the reasons I also didn't finish the first class in Covenant. I dare to say. Because, you know, I would always choose like things I felt were more meaningful and fulfilling to me over a test. Or, I mean, I'm not a lazy student, or it's not like I don't prioritize my time, but I just felt those things last longer than, you know, my books. So I won't say too much. So I'm not a bad influence on people who might be on the edge. So number four, why are you studying engineering management and what was your intended career path before starting? So this is one particular question I like. Although I think I answered this in episode four as well, that engineering management was like the middle point between engineering and leadership. And leadership was something I was very good at back in university, what people would call college here. And so I was like, and I was in the oil and gas industry before I decided to come do my master's. And, you know, I'd worked in Total for my internship, and I did not just like the way most white people were, you know, they would bring in an expatriate, in quotes, to come lead a department. I mean, not all the time, but some of them to come lead a department because, and I'm like, why import, you know, human talent when a Nigerian too could do the job? Or, well, they thought Nigerians couldn't do the job, I'm not sure. But a lot of people also lack leadership skills. But in Covenant University, I mean, we're trained to be leaders, kind of. So, but that's just one of the reasons why I did it too. And I just wanted to, I think I didn't have the courage to just turn my back on engineering. I was like, okay, let me also do something I like, you know, management, planning, you know, talking to people, project management, you know, all those sorts of things, and business at the same time. I was really trying to merge everything and just find a middle point. So yes, that is why I chose engineering management. And I can send you my statement of purpose if you want to read more about that. And my intended career path was really, I was hoping to be a planning engineer. There was this particular woman who I was job shadowing in Total, and she was like a mentor to me. And, you know, I was planning that if I ever go back into oil and gas industry, I would want to become a planning engineer, or an operations engineer. And I mean, I also did that for like a year and a half during my NYSC. So I really thought I was going to enjoy the oil and gas blood money. Eventually, I was headed for the top. There, I was going to be the 1% of the 1% women in the oil and gas industry and all of that. So if you've ever had anything to do with oil and gas, like exploration and processing in companies, like the big four or five, I think it was Shell, ExxonMobil, Chevron, and Total. Okay, the big four. I mean, back in Nigeria. So if you were ever in those industries, in one of those companies, you really know what I'm talking about. I would go for all these SPE events, and I would see women who were like in their early 20s, 25, 26, 27. And me back then, I was like 21, 22, and I couldn't wait to become them. But eventually, look at me now, and I'm having a, let's call it, mid-20 career crisis. I'm like, where do I stand? Now, what career path do I want to pursue? And I don't know, but we'll get there. So, what do you hope to do when you're done? Okay, so this is also from Tiwa. So Tiwa, as many other people who might be asking, is a lot. And with my program, because I could build a track with the engineering management program here at Cornell, so you can decide, oh, I'm going to immerse myself in product management, consulting, engineering leadership, sustainable engineering, or I think there are about six paths you can take here. Or management consultant, have I mentioned that as well? And I was like, oh, I'm going to do a bit of everything. I'm going to build my own track. So last semester, I tried to take classes in management consulting. This semester, I'm trying to focus on leadership and product management. And with every class I take, I'm like, I don't think I really like this. If you knew me last year, I really wanted to break into consulting because I thought that's what I was meant to do. You know, I was like, I need to leave. Because at a point, I also started hating the oil and gas industry because everything was too, I mean, people who know this know what I'm, even in oil and gas servicing companies, like the job is so monotonous that I'm like, where's room for creativity? You know, you just have to follow a path. If they say, although, well, I mean, it's relative because some jobs would say, some people who work these jobs might say otherwise. But you know, you just had to follow best engineering practices and all that. If this is how a pipeline was run, or if this is how maintenance and overhauling is done, you know, you just have to follow it the way the association of whatever engineers say, you know. So it was, I was really trying to work for KPMG, and I was really trying to break away eventually. And now that I finally had a taste of some of these things theoretically, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I really like this. So that's what I mean by I'm having a career crisis now. That I'm like, God, what next? What next? Because I look at me now, like back in 2020 during lockdown, all I could see was how do I just go for my master's? And now is what jobs am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to apply? You know, it's a lot. And as much as money is not my motive, you know, if not, if I put my mind to it, I'm sure I can get a job anywhere I want, Fortune 500 or not Fortune 500. But I'm really bent on also getting into the right place because I don't want to get stuck. And I'm in between. I'm not sure. You know, there are different schools of thought of, should I work for 35 years? You know, some people are like, change your career if you want to. You can be anything you want to be. If you need to hop from company 2 years to 2 years and find your purpose, find your path, do that. So there's a lot of things going on out there. But I've also seen my parents work in one place for as long as 25, 30, you know, going to almost 35 years. My dad worked where he worked for 20 years before he resigned eventually. So to me, what I'm used to is having to work in one place for a long time. So I feel like I want to get it right, but we'll see. Next question. So I'm not going to be calling numbers again, so most of you don't give up on this episode or me. How are you able to combine your massive coursework and all the other things you do? This is from Obina. So like I said, I'm trying. Every episode you probably listen to, you hear me complain today or not complain today, but I mean, I'm just trying. It's just only normal. Even when people ask, do you have any leisure time, you know, even in Covenant, so when I was as most of you might know or might not know, I went to Covenant University and I studied chemical engineering. When they ask you what do you do with your leisure time, I feel leisure time is a myth, honestly, because your leisure time is, even my TV time is not my leisure time. I beg to differ because I don't beg to differ because it's like me watching TV is improving, is needed, it's not leisure, you know. That's how I see it. So I'm combining everything because I have to. I feel like anybody, if you were thrown in this ring, you also survive. So that's just how it is. There's nothing, I mean, like they say, if you bet on yourself, you're sure to win. So that's kind of energy I keep around here. I'm betting on myself and not on anybody, you know. So yeah, so if I let me not talk too much, but I'm sure you get what I mean. And how many things am I even doing? I see some other people doing a lot of other stuff, and I just feel like if everyone here is doing, you know, America is a country where you can run so many things at the same time. I see even me now, I've joined the people that work 2 jobs, 3 jobs, and we'll all be fine. You can work 3 hours here. So I mean, I have 2 student jobs, even though they're not so hectic. But I mean, it's on paper that I have 2 student jobs, but I'm doing it, okay? So anyone can do it, trust me. And even this semester, I was planning to do a swimming class, but I couldn't get enrolled. You know, I just feel like if I have to do it, I'll do it. If I'm interested in it, I'll do it. I'll XXXX do it. Amen. Okay. How much do you spend on food monthly in Ithaca? Yeah, so because another thing too, I noticed that I've been living very comfortably because I think I've not been shopping for clothes. I've not unleashed my real self. And actually, it's because it's a lie. There's no money on ground. I've heard they say it. So yes, I think I don't think I've spent more than $200 a month on grocery shopping in Ithaca. And when you come here, actually, first year at Cornell, graduate, undergraduate, you get a free bus pass for 1 year. So I haven't had to pay for transport. My parents pay for my rent. I came here with a lot of money when I came, but they haven't sent me anything. Okay, they sent me something to celebrate my birthday, being the lovely, loving Nigerian parents they are. And what else? I think then during Christmas, they also send me money. But so far, I've been managing with what I've been earning. Well, maybe should I say managing? Well, I'm living below my means, so right now, and I think I'm doing very fine. Just imagine when I begin to live within or above my means, guys. I'm gonna be balling. But yeah, I feel like, and this is for me who's not even earning as much as PhD students earn. See, for most of you, if you just see all those people that you know that are doing PhD, if they look like they're suffering, they lie. Oh, some of them are earning PhDs here in Cornell. Some of them are earning up to $5,000 a month. I won't shout so much. Just think about it for a minute. PhD. Although, I mean, I feel like even the money is not equal to how much work they put in, honestly. Like, sometimes I pity them. I'm like, if I can feel like this, how much more PhD students? And most of them, they don't have people to talk to. All they have are their lab equipment and their... I'm seeing, no offense to any PhD student, but all I'm trying to say is that I feel for you. Honestly. So... But yeah, that's how much I spend monthly on food. And I mean, I don't eat out. I've been cooking a lot. And maybe that's also because most of my classes moved online, you know, or I finished most of my in-person classes. But if I had to eat out, at least you spend between $15 to $20 per meal and drink if you're eating out. So aside all those other little expenses, I may be buying someone a birthday gift here or donating for this or in church, you know, apart from all those things, I think I spend roughly like $200 a month, and then I'm able to save. Yeah. What is that one thing you won't want to leave this world without doing? Easy. This from Shewon. That one thing. Well, there's that one thing, but the other one thing I don't want to leave this world without doing is fulfilling purpose. Yes, I don't. I fear, that's one of my greatest fears. You know, I'm like, God, you mean I will just come here and, you know, I don't want to be caught doing what I'm not supposed to be doing. And I think this also comes from me, you know, trying to follow a lot of people's lives and get the formula of their genius. You know, today too, I just saw the post of Chimamanda's mom who passed, you know. Even though I think she passed like a month ago on her dad's birthday, someone who just also passed, you know. Rest in peace to them, you know. But, and I see how, what we all know her as a writer and a speaker. And I feel like she's so fulfilled. Even if she isn't, even if she thinks she's not, we all think she is, you know. And I'm like, if you ever told someone that, oh, I'm just writing and I speak, it will never be enough. You know, it seems like it's not enough. So I'm trying to get to the point in life where I don't let people define what is enough for me. You know, even for me too, I should not set standards too high. I don't have to be working in a certain place to be fulfilled. I don't have to be doing a certain thing to be fulfilled by world standard, you know. So it's very important to me that I'm not caught dead or alive doing what I'm not called to life to do. So yeah. And stay with me. We'll soon be done in Jesus' name. Okay. So what's your take on international students buying gadgets on credit? So I'm not one to live by credit, honestly. Except I'm really like pressed, and you know, I have no, like, except like push comes to shove. If not, like I won't. And here in Cornell, actually, if I need, so my laptop currently has turned to television, and that's because I've been here since 2017. I also have a certain attachment to it. And like I said, there's money on ground in Jesus' name. So, but very soon I hope to change it. And I think like the next stage to go to is having a Mac laptop, but it's a lie, Abby. That's just what everybody, it just feels like that's the proper upgrade. But I hate using Macs. Maybe it's how people configure their keyboards, but I never get to press the mouse and the keyboard right. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to get a Microsoft laptop. And I blame this on Blackish because I always see them with their Microsoft. I'm like, this is so cool. Even the All-American show I watch, you know, Microsoft funds a lot of these shows and American TV shows. So now I think I want a Microsoft laptop. But, oh, well, so then back to what I was saying. So at Cornell, they give you, like, if you have an issue with my laptop, like even the charger I'm using right now, I just went to the IT people and I was like, I need a new charger. And they gave me one. They just put down my details, you know, and apparently at the end of semester, I'll have to return it. So you should also send an email to your school finding out at the interim. Like if you can't afford a gadget right now, just send an email. I think I've said this in some other episodes, how the power and the beauty of emails, you know. So just send an email asking them if it's possible to borrow the laptops from IT Solutions. Even if they can't help you, they'll probably forward your email or tell you yes or no, so you know the next step of action. If I need a laptop right now, I can go apply for one and they won't give me if it's MacBook I want, if it's HP, if it's Dell. Because there are some people that I know Aki students, they use a different kind of this spyware, so there is, or Alienware, there is a different kind of laptop, you know. So whatever it is you need, so that's available at my school. And I can only imagine how many other schools do that. So if they say they don't do that, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a gadget person, honestly. But just go with your gut. And actually, some of these things might be cheaper in Nigeria, honestly, considering that you're buying at Naira value. So, but if you're sure that when you come here, you're going to receive a check, let's say you're coming here as a PhD student, you're going to receive a check, you've sorted out your rent, you've deducted all the deductibles, and you think, oh, by the time I'm done calculating my money, I should have enough money for a laptop, then you're good to go. But because even buying on credit here works, because although it might be more, but you can also earn cash back. I also learned about that when I first bought my winter coat. I got back some money. I think I got back like $15 after paying for my winter coat of $290. So there are also cashback rewards here. So there's a lot. There's a lot of ways to go around a lot of things. That's why I always say God bless America, because the financial institution and system here is so trusting and so giving. So maybe buying on credit might work, but I would advise not to live your life like that. Okay. Next question. Do you have any idea about ECTS? I think that has to be European Credit Something System. And how can we calculate using our Nigeria credit system? So this was asked by Maxwell. And since I know him personally, I sent him this answer. But if you're listening, you might be wondering, oh, I've had this question too. Just shoot me an email and I'll send you the answer I sent him. So I pulled this answer from, I asked someone else on a group chat that I'm on, my master's prep group chat, and someone gave me the answer. So if you also need the answer, just reach out to me. It's about ECTS and how you can calculate something using Nigeria credit system. So if you're in the same shoes and you need the answer to that, then let me know. So this is why I plug in my own question. Because like I said, okay, no, let me not toot my own horn. How can prospective students with FMJ visas pay for their service or their service fee? So for most of you who came here, you know that we all paid a $350 fee. So, and actually a couple of people have actually reached out to me that, oh, they need to pay their service fee. But maybe at the time I didn't want Naira or I didn't have enough dollars to part with at the time they asked me. So if this is you, well, worry no longer. I have a solution for you. So someone reached out to me earlier this week that she would like to partner with me concerning informing my listeners about paying for their service fee. So most of you know that Nigeria and US doesn't receive payments. I think it's the SEVP, the Student Exchange Visa. I don't know what P is for now. They do not accept payments from Nigerian banks. I don't know if it's because they don't trust us. So I remember when I was even trying to pay Education USA, they told us that it's only one. Someone mentioned one of the Education USA program that is only one bank in Badagry, Ecobank, that collects it. But I wasn't ready to go through all that. Higi Haga. So I just informed my auntie here, an auntie who I spent my winter break with, and she was able to do a money order for me. And we sent her the naira value and then she paid for it. But right now, I have a guy, guys. I have a guy, know someone. So yes, name of the business is Service Africa. They're US-based payment service for African immigrant students that are looking for an easy way to pay their service fee, as well as other education or US immigration related bills. So apparently they launch May 15, 2021. So, but in the interim, if right now you need to pay your service fee and you don't know who to go to, send me an email at thenonimmigrantstudent@gmail.com and I will plug you. And you can also send her an email at info@serviceafrica.com. So she's been running the business for some time, but she decided that, I might just make a business out of it, you know? And I'm really happy for her. And that's why I'm attaching myself to this, because I feel like it's vision. I mean, a lot of people have these issues and there was no central solution. So what you would do is you just pay the naira equivalent to a Nigerian bank account. And I think her exchange rate is very fair, honestly, compared to the other exchange rates that people give. Even when I sent my money to my auntie, I had to send money at Aboki black market rate. So the streets are wild. So yeah. When you reach out to her at info@serviceafrica.com, you can also mention that you're from me. That, you were listening to the Non-Immigrant Student Podcast and you heard that you can pay your service fee. Just send me an email, I'll forward it and I'll just get you sorted and then you pay her and then I get my cut. That's so cool, guys. That's so cool, right? Oh my God. It feels cool. But yeah, we'll see. Just let me know. I don't even know. I'm not sure about everything yet, but I'm sure that I trust her, so I'm telling you to also trust her. And also, she helps people pay admission deposits. That's like admission, what they call it now? When you get admission, and there's something they call it, when you accept your acceptance fee, yes. She also helps pay school fees. And when people get here, you're trying to shop. So apparently, I came here with a GT domiciliary account and a card, but apparently, it's not accepted at Target here because GT doesn't trust Target. And it's funny, but I respect Nigerian financial institutions. They actually say it's one of the hardest to hack into. So, but they're one of the best hackers in the world anyway, apparently. Shout out to Cash App. But yeah. So if you, when you get here for the first time, you don't have a card and you like to shop, she can also sort you out. She also helps with rent and lease deposits. She also helps with Greyhound bus tickets from airports to your house. And then she also does hotel bookings for you. Not Airbnb, just hotels. And she also helps with discounted flights. So trust me, guys, you guys are covered. And for as many of you that went to Covenant University, she's an Eagle too. So that's like the best part. I mean, what's better than Eagles helping Higgles? Hey! What's better than Higgles helping Higgles? Yeah. So, but yeah, so I trust her. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. As many of you who have that problem, I think this is a very, very viable solution that she's providing. And yeah, so please patronize her. So on to the next. You'll probably see posters about this. I would help you. And if you can also share with your friends, your families. So this is not just for people in Nigeria. I think Ghana too has this issue. Kenya, Cameroon, and some other African countries. So it's all for African students. And shout out to my very few Ghanaian and Kenyan listeners. I appreciate you guys so much. And biggest shout out to my Nigerian listeners. All of you that keep downloading, come back to download and support me. I'm really grateful. Okay, so I think we will adjourn this episode today. You guys, clap for wherever you are, just be clapping for me. Clapping for me. I'm ending this episode at 33 minutes. I'm so proud of myself today. Okay, so we'll adjourn this episode here and I would have a part two for the Q&A session. And then I'm also going to do a bonus episode at the end of this season on how to file your taxes after I file mine. So, you guys, content, OPP, OPG, KPK, OPO. If you're not, this is in Nigerian Western language, Yoruba. It just means content is plenty, is much, and is overflowing. Yes. And this is also for my listeners in other parts of the world. So, thank you, guys. I hope you have a great weekend ahead. I'm rooting for you if you're rooting for me. Yes, I'm quite violent too. Okay. No, I'm rooting for you even if you're not rooting for me. I mean, but yeah, so thank you all for listening always. I appreciate each and every one of you. If you have any more questions, please, you know where to find me. Shoot me an email at thenonimmigrantstudent@gmail.com or send me a DM on Twitter or on Instagram. All the links are also linked in my podcast website at thenonimmigrantstudent@buzzsprout.com. So Yeah, just let me know whatever you need. Bye, guys. I will see you in the next episode. Signing out.